Well, it's all over, and it's time to look back at the season of Marquette basketball. Thanks for tuning in to Scrambled Eggs, everyone. I'm Joe McCann, Phil Bush alongside as well. And it's all over, Phil. Disappointing that the season's over, of course, but not a disappointing season at all. We're going to kind of break it down and talk about the game, maybe start about the disappointment of the game, and then move on to the season as a whole. But first, let's talk about the end and the loss to Syracuse. And, you know, after three great performances, pulling games out, and one dominant performance against Miami, Marquette, I guess, was maybe due for a bad game, and boy, they had one against Syracuse.
Oh, boy, did they ever. It was wildly unfortunate because they couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. They kind of went to away Marquette, which we were afraid of the three games before that, and they kind of regressed back to that. And it was I thought the one thing I think was interesting from the game was, I was frustrated like everyone else that they weren't getting inside and they seemed just to weave around the outside. But having said that, Syracuse did to us what we did to Miami. Miami had shots, they didn't hit them. We had shots, we didn't hit them. We had some clean looks, especially from three, that if they hit two or three of them, that's a different game, and they just didn't hit them.
The zone was frustrating. We felt Indiana's pain for sure. After we saw Indiana just be an absolute mess against that zone in the Sweet 16, Marquette had the exact same struggles against the zone. Fired up 24 threes. Obviously for a team that statistically was very poor shooting the three all year, had shot maybe a little better in the games in the tournament. They definitely regressed and went way past the regression as far as their season three-point percentage, just 3 of 24 from downtown. So that was tough to watch. I know like the team was frustrated, Buzz was frustrated, and the guys probably just thinking, well, we cannot get this ball inside, and so we're just going to have to start firing up threes. And it was just a problem that just got worse and worse as the game went along. And, they tried to go inside a little bit, but, I guess they just weren't able to get any shots off and weren't able to get the, there was just swarming down there. They really didn't attempt many shots because that zone just collapsed on anybody who got the ball in the post.
Well, one, they did a lot of faking of entry passes without actually making some entry passes. And I would have liked to have seen them try and enter the ball into the free throw line or enter it in from the wings a little bit more. But the question I'd ask you, Joe, is how much do you chalk up to coaching or poor scouting, and how much do you chalk up to the players just not executing whatever the strategy was?
I definitely say it's the latter. I don't think Buzz and his guys were unprepared. I don't think the team was unprepared. They just played poorly. It just happens. They knew what they were going to get from Syracuse, and Syracuse is playing way over its head. For a team that really stumbled in February and March, they fixed it, and they got right. And Syracuse is red hot at the right time. They executed that zone. As much as we hate it, as much as we want to make fun of it and say I think the trend was zone is for cowards was what we saw on Twitter. But the cowards won. I guess I'd rather be a victorious coward than a brave loser in the NCAA tournament. But
ask William Wallace about that.
Yeah, I suppose so. But they didn't execute, and the shots didn't fall. I'm sure as the game went along, and every time a 3-point shot went up, Buzz was probably cringing and holding his breath with each one, saying, "Oh gosh, please go to nope, didn't go down again." And I don't think it was a lack of preparation or lack of focus, because they were totally focused and absolutely there for the Miami game. The stage wasn't too big for them, I don't think, because it was just another game in the same site that they had played 2 days earlier. It just, I hate to soften it like this and say, well, that's just the way it is, but that's just the way it is. They just didn't win. The only reason they didn't win was because they lost.
Yeah.
Syracuse just played better.
Well, the last half of the second half, it kind of got out of control. And it was definitely somewhat frustrating watching the game. But, they were within striking distance at halftime. They found a nice little run there where Devontae was hitting jumpers as per usual against Syracuse, and then was feeding the low post every time the center came up to defend his jumper. So they kind of found that string, and then I don't know what Syracuse did to change their zone defense, but that wasn't available in the second half. And I don't know if it was they didn't force it or if they just, you know, they didn't try it. It was just a case of like you said, I do tend to agree that it was just not Marquette's game. I don't, you know, 9 times out of 10, I don't think the game winds up that way again.
Yeah, I would guess, you know, when in these tournament situations, you know, where you're going to a site and there's four teams there, you know, the assistant coaches probably start working on game plans for the other two opponents while the head coach and the rest of the assistants work on the game for the first opponent. So Buzz and whoever else was probably working on Miami, whilst one of the assistants was probably, one was working on Indiana and one was probably working on Syracuse. And so then after that game's over, then they throw together everything they had about Syracuse and tried to figure it out. You know, what was going to happen. And they knew what they were going to get, and they just didn't know Syracuse was going to play as well as they did, especially defensively. Syracuse, I guess trying to avoid a pun here, but I'm just going to say it anyway, Syracuse was just in the zone. They just played absolutely fantastic.
Well, and you know, Buzz, as Buzz said in the postgame presser, and this is something I agree with, and I also agree with his larger context of, you know, as a society, we need to sometimes admit these things. Buzz said, we just got beat. I mean, you can, from the Marquette perspective, you can make all these statements of, you know, well, we didn't play well, our shots weren't falling, we didn't do this, this, and this. To a certain extent, it diminishes it. As much as I hate to say it, Syracuse was just the better team that particular right. day, and you lost to them, and there's, you know, maybe we didn't like the results, and it sounds like a quit, you know, a loser's lament, but we lost to the better team. There's no, there's, you know, that's not a horrid thing, or that's not a shameful thing to lose to the better team.
No, it's not. And it's certainly nothing shameful as we kind of transition to the season as a whole. Certainly nothing shameful about this team and what it accomplished this season. I mean, now that it's all over, we can look back and just run down the accomplishments. As I've said before, Buzz said before the season that the Sweet 16 wasn't good enough anymore. And it wasn't, and the team did raise the bar once again by getting to the Elite Eight, a place they hadn't been in 10 years. And so they were back there, one win away from the Final Four. They got that Big East co-championship, and they really laid the groundwork for this team to really take another big step forward next year, and we'll see what happens there. But I think you, as a Marquette fan, once you get over the disappointment of the loss and the season ending, you just have to salute this team, the coaching staff, Buzz, and all the players for getting, I think, every win they possibly could out of what they had.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the general consensus, even among the most diehard of Marquette fans at the beginning of the season, was we were an NCAA bubble team, that we were going to win some games we shouldn't, we were going to lose some games we shouldn't, and that to get in the tournament and make a Sweet 16, you know, despite Buzz saying the bar needed to be raised, I think anyone would have easily taken a Sweet 16 berth at the beginning of the season, and especially after we lost to Green Bay. I think anybody would have taken just a one and done in the tournament at that point, given what the team was doing.
Right, yeah. After the Green Bay loss, I was like, let's just make the tournament. Let's just make the tournament, keep that streak going, and then we'll rebuild next year. But they really flipped a switch. They got to a championship level, a Big East championship level, and got to the point where the committee thought highly enough of them to give them a 3 seed, and then they did what they were supposed to do from there. They won 2 games to get to the Sweet 16, which is what a 3 seed is supposed to do, and then they got one more. They beat a very, very good Miami team who, probably by their own admission, did not have their best game, but that's not Marquette's fault. Marquette played a great game, beat Miami, and really, you know, these seniors, Junior Cadogan and Trent Lockett, and maybe Chris Otule with something we can talk down the road, they definitely went out with a bang and really, really left their mark on the program.
Well, and not to get overly sentimental or sappy or philosophical here, but this season really taught me to kind of sit back and enjoy it. I mean, one of the things I noticed, this was probably the first full season I really remember, maybe somewhat last season, but following games on Twitter while I'm watching the game, both in person and on TV. And just some of the things going, you know, especially during the tournament games, some of the things people were saying, you know, vocalizing their frustration at the Syracuse game and stuff like that. It was really kind of one of these things like, wait, hang on a minute. This is supposed to be fun. and this is enjoyable. And that's really what the takeaway from this season was, is, you know, we can't get bogged down in the negative stuff because we miss all the real positive stuff the team really, really put forward. I mean, the revelation of Vander Blue as a pretty dominant offensive force to go with his defensive prowess. You know, Juan Anderson picking up some minutes. Chris Otule having the best season of his career. Not to mention the fact this season we didn't even talk about it, I think probably because we were afraid to jinx it. We didn't get a single significant injury.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up too. And the only injury that I can think of is Vander Blue had that knee strain.
Yes.
And they set him out as a precaution against, was it Maryland, Baltimore County?
Yes, Maryland, Baltimore County. He strained his knee like that against Mississippi State, I think.
Right, and that was a game where if it was a significant game, he probably would have played. But other than that, like, I'm sure, yeah, everybody has bruises and strains and pulls and just minor things that they battle through all season. But this is the first season I can remember in a while where Marquette did not have at least one significant injury. I mean, obviously, Otule has had a lot of his well-documented struggles with injuries of the years past. Joe Foles had knee injuries. Jarrell McNeil broke his hand 1 year. Dominic James broke
Diener.
His foot. Travis Diener broke his hand. It just seems like they were all – I think Wesley Matthews missed some games with a concussion back in the day. You know, I think it was freshman or sophomore year. It just seems like there's always at least one significant injury that just makes the Marquette fans go, "Gah, can we just get through one season and let one team just totally live up to its potential without everyone else having to step in and fill in and pick up the slack for an injured player?" And that's what this team got to do. This team finally had a shot where – everyone had their role, and everyone was able to grow within their own role and not have to worry about stepping up because someone else was missing because of an injury.
Right, and given, you know, if you remember the visual of Vander going down in that game with, you know, I thought there was potential for significant damage there, and he only missed one game. If
right.
he hurt his knee significantly, you know, we're still talking about Vander as, you know, that's a lost season for him. I don't think he has the same breakout season he has without, you know, without kind of surviving that potential disaster.
Yeah,
so,
I remember Vander lying on the floor after that injury. I'm like, oh gosh, not
well,
this.
And I think they even carried him off, if I remember correctly.
Right.
You know, so you know, I hate to be cliche, but this is kind of one of those seasons that you go, hey, let's just count our blessings here. We kind of caught lightning in a bottle. I think we've seen Buzz at his best when he's got his players and his system. I think if you look at it, next year will be the first year where he's truly got a roster entirely of his making.
You could say that about this year. I mean, granted, Otule committed to Crean, but Otule was a Buzz recruit.
Well, yeah, I agree, but I still think some of the choices that Buzz has had to make over the last couple of years were somewhat dictated by the position the roster was in.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And you know, when he came in terms of, you know, maybe, you know, and Jay Crowder and DJO were fantastic. I wouldn't not have them on the team. But taking a few more JUCOs to fill out the roster in critical spots, you know, now he's always going to take JUCOs, but now, you know, he's kind of filled out in exactly the style he wants for next year.
And, you know, next year's team should be really exciting.
Right.
You know, as long as there are no, there are no unpleasant surprises in the off season as far as, you know, anyone leaving. The roster shapes up really nicely. Obviously, Marquette's won over the scholarship limit. We'll see what happens there. But five very promising recruits coming in with, you know, losing Cadugan and Lockett for sure. And then we'll see what happens with Otule when it comes to applying for that 6 year. But the roster just should be so deep. And there are so many guys that are on the roster now that you have to be excited about coming back. I mean, the senior class coming back next year's seniors is going to be very talented when you're talking about Vander Blue, Jameel Wilson, and Devontae Gardner, and if he's back, Chris Otule. I mean, you got a heck of a senior class, so you'll have leadership, and then you have all these talented freshmen, and then you have plenty of role players in between there in the sophomore and junior classes. So, you know, what Buzz has constructed here, I think you have to be excited about the future because you know he's going to be coming into camp next year. He'll probably do the same routine saying, Elite Eight's not good enough this year, and then we'll probably go, well, we're not very good. No, we're not very good. We're not very good. Okay, now we're good. Now we're good. Now we want respect, and now we want to win a championship.
Well, and I think that builds, you know, so Buzz will have his guys. He's shown what he can do with this roster. Imagine what he can do with the roster next year with all that talent we've talked about, just from a coaching standpoint, and managing the games. I mean, that is a roster from a talent standpoint. You know, they went, in some instances, 10 deep this year. You think they went 10 deep this year, they could go 11 or 12 deep next year, technically. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And not, you know.
It's tough to go that deep. I mean.
Right. I'm not saying you would want to, but, I mean, you could literally play, and we're getting into probably our next podcast. But I guess I'm just excited for the future, and there's a lot in place that makes Marquette a dangerous team for the foreseeable future, and really makes it a desirable location, all snow and lingering winter issues aside.
Yeah, and you know, Michael Hunt had a really good article on that point.
Do not giggle.
No, I said Michael.
Okay, well, let's be professional, Joe.
No, he had a really good article
about
Buzz and why would he leave. You know, because there's been a ton of speculation with, and again, to the rookie Marquette fans out there, speculation will continue anytime any half-decent opening pops up. So don't put too much faith in any rumor that's thrown out there.
Well, now that Florida Gulf Coast is open, there's probably going to be rumors of Buzz to there.
You know, Farley Dickinson has not hired anyone yet either, so there's that. But he said in his article, why would Buzz leave? He some of the things he touched on, he said the much publicized rift, which Jeff Goodman seems to push a lot in his articles, surprisingly. The rift between Buzz and Larry Williams, he said it's overblown. He says it's nothing that probably is not beyond repair. And he said when you look at the money Marquette spends, it is as high, if not higher, than just about every basketball program in the country as far as how much they spend on basketball, how dedicated they are to the sport, how dedicated they are to Buzz. His contract, he's one of the top 10 coaches salary wise in the country. There's just so much going for Buzz right now. I think it would take a really, really amazing situation. I'm hoping I'm jinxing it by saying that, but I think it would take a really amazing situation to pull him away from Marquette.
Absolutely. I think Michael's coverage of Marquette basketball this season has been a little hit or miss, but I think he hit the ball out of the park with this last article, because it is, you know, it's not, you know, Indiana, it's not North Carolina, it's not Duke, but what do those places all have in common? They were not necessarily big places until a big coach, you know, kind of stepped up and made them huge places. Marquette was one of those places once upon a time with Al. I'm not saying Buzz is the next Al, but he's in a position to at least have the opportunity to have that kind of sustained success. And Buzz talked about it in one of the games. I think it was after the Butler game. He talked about momentum and how hard it is to build momentum and then keep that momentum going. I would make the argument that, you know, the gist of Hunt's article was that momentum is there for Marquette. Why would you want to stop that by going somewhere else and having to start over?
Yeah, I mean, who knows how long Buzz stays at Marquette, but as long as he's happy, I hope he stays at Marquette for a long time. And if Buzz does stay at Marquette for, let's just be optimistic and say another 10 years, he could really, really build this thing into something special. Who knows how far he could take this team, how many wins he could get, you know, as he continues to develop recruits and get the most out of them, how high it could get. You know, and there are some jobs out there that, you know, let's just be honest, they're just great jobs and you don't say no to them, like Indiana is one. UCLA was another. I mean, honestly, the UCLA job did concern me, just because that is a job that is so prestigious. If they offer it to you, even if you're not a California guy, it's just not a job you say no to. And that's what I guess ultimately got Steve Alford out there. But, you know, I think Indiana, UCLA, Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, Carolina, those are jobs you just don't say no to. And I think there are some more on like a second tier there that are also really hard to turn down. Like if Izzo ever left Michigan State, and I think Louisville is in that mix there. And, you know, everyone always talks about Texas being a big sleeping giant. Still, the accomplishments aren't there with the Texas program, but they do, you know, light their cigars with $100 bills. And so they'll just throw money at anything. But, I mean, Rick Barnes is apparently at this point going to be sticking around for another year.
Yeah, but you know, what about the Marquette program would tell you that it's not part of that second tier? I think I agree with your premise of the you know, the first tier teams, if they come calling, you go. But what about the second tier tells you it's not Marquette? You know, Marquette's not there. I think Marquette is up with the Louisvilles and the Ohio States and those type of teams.
You know, I when they put the tournament resumes side by side of Syracuse and Marquette before the game, I was surprised how close they were. Because, I guess, you know, maybe just thinking without really looking at the numbers, I would just consider – I think most people would consider Syracuse a much more prestigious program than Marquette. But when if you looked at the numbers, Syracuse only had, four or five more tournament appearances.
Right.
Before the game, they only had one more Final Four, so now Syracuse has two more Final Fours. And Syracuse and Marquette are tied with one national championship each.
Marquette goes back to Syracuse. You get one good coach, and it builds a program. Where was Syracuse before Boeheim?
I think that was back in the Stone Age.
Well, dinosaurs did roam the earth. He's got the bite marks to prove that. But,
right.
It just goes to show you get one good coach and because with those numbers, we had Al, but, you know, by all accounts, the dark ages of the late 80s and early 90s for Marquette, you know, didn't help any. And the program's at a level where, you know, maybe we're not seeing it in the national media, and that's part of our issue, is that we've got an inferiority complex because everyone picked every team to beat us this year in the tournament. Not one. I don't know that any prominent journalist said, well, I really think Marquette can beat Miami or can beat Butler or can beat Davidson. So I think that kind of is ingrained in the Marquette culture of, well, we've got an inferiority complex. We're not as good as these other places. But I really think that's starting to change, and people are really starting to look at it. Hey, Buzz, you know, the number of articles that were out that, you know, say, basically journalists saying Buzz isn't as dumb as he comes off. I think that kind of goes hat in hand with Marquette. Hey, they're more talented than we think they are. They're a better team than we think they are.
And I agree. I think, to your point, you get one coach that stays at a place for 10 or 15 years, all of a sudden that program is a great program and is one of the best. Like, say if John Calipari had stayed at Memphis and it was still doing at Memphis what he's doing at Kentucky, maybe Memphis would be, like, mentioned in the same tier as Michigan State right now. Maybe not historically, but as far as elite programs right now, Memphis could be there. And I think Marquette could be there. You know, this is speaking of big-time homerism, and of course, but we're a Marquette podcast, so who cares?
Right.
But I think Marquette could be one of the top 10, 15 programs in the country if they keep one good coach like Buzz Williams in that position for a long time. Because, you know, turnover sets you back. Even if it is, even if you lose one coach to get a better coach, the turnover does cause you to take a step back. And just having one guy in one place for a long time will get you to the top. And that's what's happened to a place like Duke.
Right. Well, and think of it this way. You know, Buzz has been here 5 years, and they've been phenomenal 5 years. If Buzz stays here, let's say, another 10 years and has – you know, over those 10 years has the same sustained success average that he had in those first 5 years. If Buzz leaves after, you know, 15 years at Marquette with that kind of, I mean, you're basically looking at Sweet 16s relatively consistently, then when he leaves, we will say thank you and we'll bring in the next great coach. I mean, then people will want to come to Marquette. Marquette
right.
won't be a stepping stone. It'll be established in the basketball hierarchy. That will be a job where Andy Katz will start rumors of hot coach to Marquette.
Right.
And when I think it opens up.
Ultimately, championships and tournament success are what gets you there. And Marquette is trending certainly in that direction. Three straight Sweet 16s, breaking through, getting to an Elite Eight next year. Obviously, with this class coming in, there's going to be talk of Final Four, and I don't think that's ridiculous. You know, as these kids develop, and it depends how good they are when they arrive on campus, people might be talking Final Four next year. And if not next year, probably the year after that, if more quality recruits tend to follow these guys in. And going into this new conference, you know, I really haven't broken it down looking at rosters. I think Marquette might be the preseason favorite in the new Big East next year, because I'm assuming Georgetown is going to lose Otto Porter, and Creighton's probably going to lose Craig McDermott. Or
Doug McDermott.
Craig McDermott's his coach, Doug McDermott. And I don't know what Butler has coming back, but I think Marquette is probably going to be the
Butler
preseason.
Butler loses Andrew Smith and Rodney Clark.
Right. So I haven't really broken down the rosters, but Marquette may be the preseason number one and may have a chance to get a conference title next year.
That sounds like there's maybe a podcast in that topic.
Well, there may be.
But I agree. Yeah, Marquette comes out. You know, and there is, again, to the novice Marquette fans, or if you just, you know, if you're a freshman this year, trust me, it can be worse than this. So don't expect Elite Eights every year. But, you know, the whole Larry Williams, Buzz Williams thing, I have to admit, in full disclosure, I'm not a big fan of Larry Williams to date. I don't have any personal encounters with him, but just some of the things I've seen and heard. I don't think he's a bad AD. I think he was a little out of his depth initially. And whether he and Buzz are best friends or cordial acquaintances that have to work together, you know, that's fine. They don't have to be best friends as long as they can make things work, because we've got a real good thing here. As long as they can make things work out so Buzz stays at Marquette and the administration is happy, that's all that really matters. It's just make that happen.
Yeah, and, you know, winning cures everything.
Too. Right.
If Buzz keeps winning, Larry, if there is a serious rift.
Right, when we have, you know, we don't even, you know, we're an internet podcast. We don't even have sources.
Yeah, we don't have inside information. But let's say for the sake of this argument, there is a serious rift. If Buzz keeps winning, Larry Williams is like, man, I got to keep this guy or I'm going to get canned.
Right. You know, and in Larry Williams' defense, I mean, if Buzz Williams is somehow out of control, which, again, we know nothing about that, well, then there should be some tightening of some screws on him and keeping him in line. I want a good program that's something right. to be proud of. So it's a balance, and I don't see any indication that everybody can't be adults in the room and make it work, because we've got a good thing, and why do you upset the apple cart?
Right. And I think that sums it up perfectly. Marquette has a great situation. They got a great coach. They got a talented roster. Good class coming in. As long as AD and coach, and they got great fans who are going to support this program as long as this type of success continues. And as you said, we're not going to say Elite Eight every year. Let's be realistic. But let's also keep the expectations high, too, because this team has the talent to keep winning and still be a top 25 or better team year in and year out.
Right. And going back to my previous statement about, you know, enjoying the season – now is the final word on this for me is now is the perfect time to be a Marquette fan. Let's sit back and enjoy it, not get all angsty.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and that's why, yeah, I'm trying to approach this offseason just totally relaxed. I'm not going to read message boards and worry about rumors about players or coaches. I'm just going to enjoy the fact that Marquette is a solid team. They're going to be very highly ranked in the preseason, and as long as Buzz Williams is the coach there, I think they're going to be very competitive and one of the most exciting teams in college basketball to watch, and I am proud to be a fan myself.
100% agree.
And the best part is we're not Rutgers.
Oh, yeah, that's true. New Jersey, not good.
What a mess. What a mess, Mike Rice.
Well, the good news is, DePaul, you're not in the worst position in the Big East.
Right. Yeah, just be comfortable down there in the basement in the new Big East, DePaul. You'll be just fine down there. Maybe we'll let Seton Hall go down there and play, you know, down there in the new Big East. But, you know, I'm looking forward to next season. And, you know, obviously we've been doing this podcast on a weekly basis during the season. We're not going to do it that often in the off season. But as the news breaks and things pop up as the summer goes along, we'll pop back on and put up podcasts to let you guys know what's going on. Right, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think you know, we'll take a couple of week break here, but actually we'll do a joint live podcast here in a couple of weeks and break down the roster. We're heading down to Joe's internet dungeon to
in the great Republic of Texas.
Yes, the Republic of Texas to visit and go someplace warm for a change as opposed to Wisconsin. So. We'll do a little live podcast and send it out to folks and break down the roster and stuff. So that'll be something to look forward to. And then we'll just we'll play it by ear as we go from there, just to kind of, as we find stuff out, get information out there and kind of feed the Marquette beast.
Yeah, not that we're going to break all this stuff down right now, but some things to look forward to that we'll probably be breaking down as the off season rolls along. Number one will be the scholarship situation, because Marquette is one over the scholarship limit. So currently one player will probably be leaving. Obviously, Chris Otule has to apply for a 6-year for that to be an issue. But that'll be one thing we'll talk about, as opposed to if players, you know, if a player or players leave the program. You know, and we'll probably talk about the incoming freshmen as well, what we think of them. Another thing I'm looking forward to, Phil, is the schedule. I'm, you know, not just the conference schedule. I'm anxious to see what kind of non-conference opponents Marquette's going to put together as they try to figure out what they're going to do now that they lose some of those old Big East teams, and see what kind of maybe new rivalries they try to spark up in non-conference play.
Yeah, I think that's going to be exciting. I am excited to see the conference schedule and break that all down. I'm excited to see, you know, talk about the recruiting rumors for next year. Obviously, we've got an incoming class that you talked about us breaking down, but I'll be intrigued to kind of, as big rumors pop up. And the other thing that'll be interesting, especially for those folks that maybe don't live in the Milwaukee area, when they do the Pro-Am in the summer, where they get a whole bunch of players from all over the place, former Marquette players, former Badger players, current Marquette players, get those all together and kind of play a mini tournament kind of thing. It'll be fun to kind of break down what we see from there and bring that kind of to the folks that maybe can't go to the games real time.
Yeah, the thing I love about the Pro-Am is that's the first live action look we get to see at the freshmen. Yeah, we get to see what they look like, you know, for those who haven't seen them. I know a lot of Marquette fans who live in Milwaukee have gone to see Dwayne Wilson, Deontay Burton a few times playing high school, but some of these new guys like Dawson coming from New Mexico, he's going to be a mystery, see what he's all about. And I think people obviously be interested to see McKay, the JUCO kid, and Juwan Johnson, the kid who's from Memphis.
Yeah, and see if any of them can shoot a three-point bucket.
I hear Johnson can really fill it up, but you know, that's something to break down on on another podcast. But I think he's going to be the big-time shooter next year if you know, we're looking for shooters from the freshman.
Based on Saturday's result, I'd say we are.
Yeah, so hopefully we will. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Scrambled Eggs. It's been fun doing it. This is our first season of doing it. It's gotten some good reviews and good feedback, so we appreciate everybody listening. And, you know, you can keep up with us during the off season. Of course, we're on Crack Sidewalks. That's where we post this podcast. And, of course, we're on Twitter as well. I'm on Twitter at JoeMcCann3, and Phil is on Twitter at Moof with 3 O's 23. And you know, Phil's been fun doing this. It's been a good idea. This was your idea to start this thing, so I gotta say it's been kind of fun, and I'm looking forward to keeping it rolling through the off season.
Oh well, thanks. I appreciate it, and it's been a blast to do it. And I have to say, people have responded even more positively than I could have hoped. So really appreciate people listening and getting the page views that we've gotten. You know, we're not making any money on this. We're doing it out of pure love of the sport and stuff we would be talking about anyway. So it's good to kind of project that out to the masses, and by all means, give us feedback. Let us know what you like, don't like. Next season will be our first full season of this, so let's see what we can do with that. And hey, maybe, you know, we kind of caught lightning in a bottle this season. Maybe next season we can catch two strikes of lightning in a bottle or something.
Maybe lightning will strike twice. We'll see. But anyway, also thanks to Crack Sidewalks, of course, for inviting us to come on and join what they do over there. So just more exposure for us, hopefully more fun for them, and better experience for you, the fans, as well. So, and again, hey, contact us if you have also ideas for off-season topics, any things you want us to break down, because, you know, by the time we roll around and do another podcast, we'll be looking forward to doing that. Phil, final thoughts as we wrap this thing up?
You know what? I'm going to stick with keep calm and ahoya on.
I like that. Proud to be a Marquette fan. Proud to do this podcast. Thanks for everyone tuning in to Scrambled Eggs. Hope your off season is full of seashells and balloons. We'll talk to you next time.